And if I didn't mention your name, I apologize. I know a lot of you came out and done some things and other things. But this is a working church. It's a working church. And I'll get into that in just a few minutes. I'm going to do something a little bit different today. I'm going to read some scripture, and then I'm going to come down here, and I'm going to share my heart with you as a pastor of New Life and where I think it is and what I think is going on so that we can move forward. And some things I think you need to know and be in the loop on. But if you have your Bibles, turn over to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to read something here that many of you may know by memory, but it is a piece here. It's Jesus giving his last words before he ascends into heaven. And he's reminding that crowd there, his disciples, of what it's all about. Father, open our hearts up today to your word that we may grasp it, that we may understand it. And Lord, may though that we have read it many times, Lord, take us a little bit deeper into it today. We ask it in your presence, in your name. Amen. Amen. Verse 17, Matthew chapter 28. This is when they saw him. They worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Everything else that's written after this, almost everything written after this, is conclusion, is part of this. In the Old Testament, we read and we see the heroes of the Old Testament trying to reach and do and live for God, and prophecies of the Christ, the Messiah, coming. And then when he comes and he dies upon the cross, he's resurrected, and he has given, offers the gift of salvation to the world for the forgiveness of their sins and the many promises that God has given to man. And those, we see many of those in the book of Revelations and throughout the Word. But we see, after we see the Gospels, we see the book of Acts, the awesome peace at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit comes down upon the believers. And then we see the birth of the church. And Jesus said, Jesus even said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail." He said, "I will build my church." And it's kind of funny because you don't see church in there too much, you know, in these Gospels. You see synagogue, you see it, but he says, "I will build my church." But the book of Acts, you see the beginning of the church. And it started off very exciting, and then it got bumpy. Because people found out it was not just, "Hey, let me go get this free gift and let me get a healing." But there was a lot more involved in it. There was a lot of things involved in it. And people didn't like it because it got messy, and people were messy. And we see that in letters, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, book letters to the churches, and we see it to Galatians, we see it to Philippi, the church, the letter of Colossians, we see these Thessalonians, we see all those letters to these churches and to these people. And it's how to encourage their churches and things that they were struggling with. At the beginning, they had a lot of struggles. One church struggled with this, another church struggled with that. But God didn't give up on those churches, and he kept building, and Christ kept building those churches. And we see letters in James on how to live. How to live our life and how to be that Christian. And we see some deeper things in the Word in the New Testament and some places in the letter, the Hebrews. And we see the promises and the whole thing about the revelation and the second coming of Christ. But it all comes down to this part where he says, "All authority has been given unto me in the heaven and the earth." Jesus is the Master. Is he not? Amen. Jesus is the Lord. He is the author of the church. Jesus paid for it. Every church is different. So today I want to share a couple of things that I've written down, and I have my paper. Usually I don't use a lot of paper, but today I do, because I want you to, I don't want to miss some things, and I want you to know where my heart is and where we are today as a church. We are not the same church as we used to be. I'm going to give you five things today that has changed in this church, okay? This is not a scolding session. This is just five things that have changed in this church. And these are things that I can't help, but they just changed. You know, we are not the church that we used to be. Number one, we don't have a youth group right now. Is that a bad thing? Not really. You don't create things just because that's what every church does. Youth groups were created because there was a need to work with youth people. We are a little bit different than that. Does that mean we're not going to have youth again? No. But it means right now we don't have that. So why would we put all of our energy into something when we don't have that? Okay? Now, if you feel like God wants you to do that, then you need to go out there and you need to go out there and you need to get them out there because they're not in here. We used to be very, very strong in youth, okay? But that's gone right now, okay? People ask me sometimes about the Fort Wayne campus, what's going on with it? I said, it's like a bear, it's in hibernation. I don't know if it's going to come out, I don't know what's going to happen with it, but right now, it's like a bear in hibernation. That's the way it is with the youth group, okay? Doesn't mean it's a bad thing, okay? If you feel like that's something you need to work on, then you go out there and you go fishing, okay? Be fishermen of youth, okay? Number two, we only have four married couples in this church that attend on a regular basis. Four married couples over the age of 32. Dan and Dee, Ed and Tanya, me and Carla, Scott and Deb. That's it. That's a wake-up call. Is it not? Is that a change? That's a change in this church. Okay? We have over 20 young adults under the age of 32. We have over 20 young adults. The church is changing. We have over 20 young adults under the age of 32. That's a pretty big number for 20-year-olds, okay? A lot of churches would envy that. We are growing, number four, we are growing with little people. We are having more babies because these 20-year-olds are getting married and they're having babies. So there's a new thing that's going on here. So we have little babies coming over. And we have little babies that are turning into little wee people. Little people, okay? And you got to be patient with them because they're running around and they just do little people things, okay? So we need to know that our church is changing. Some of us are turning into grandparents, I think, and some of us are older. And number five, we have a lot of single people in this church regardless. We have a lot of single people in this church. Okay? Is that a bad thing? No, it's not a bad thing. We got some single people that kind of got together, and now they're going to be getting married. We have some of those. So there's going to be some more younger couples. But this, a lot of single people. So the dynamics of this church has changed. The look of this church has changed. 5 years ago, 7 years ago, when we were across the street, I was just looking at our numbers, we were hitting in the 90s. On a regular Sunday, we were hitting that 90-91 mark every week. I think that was our average. That means we've hit over that several times just to get to that 91 mark. But we were different. We had families. And when we created ministry, we began to lose some of those families because someone thought we were losing focus of them. But I'm also reminded that God has given us a vision. Okay, and we'll come back to that, but there are five. Those are the five things. You may have come up with something else that you see that is different, but these are five major pieces that is about the congregation, okay? Doesn't mean it's a bad thing, but it's things that we need to be aware of. So some of our ministries need to adjust and needs to change. Like, we don't need to put a bunch of effort right now in junior high and high school because we just don't have them, okay? Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. So I want to share some things about New Life Fellowship and where my heart is. And I have some things I want to share with you this morning because I wanted to do this a few weeks ago, and God just kept pressing on me not to do it. I want you to preach this, I want you to preach that. But I have studied all week, and I have just come up against the wall, and the Lord just says, today's the day. And look at it. We don't have one visitor here today. It's just us home folk. God knew exactly. Last week we had a couple of visitors. The week before we had a couple of visitors. God wanted us to be home folk. I didn't know who was going to show up today, but it's home folk. Whether you're a member or you're just a regular attender, so this is who we are. Number one, I want to help us, and I want to look at a couple of things. Number one is this: we need to love the people in the church. We all look different. We all have a different life in some aspects. We work in different places. We all have different personalities. We all make different salaries, monies, whatever it may be. We all drive different kind of vehicles. We all have different kind of houses. But we all have something in common. We're believers and we belong to this church. We need to learn to love each other. Okay, we are a family. We need to learn to love each other. We need to learn that we are different. Okay, some of us are more introverts. A lot of introverts in this church. Okay, introverts, I want to tell you, if you're extrovert, sometimes when you open your mouth, you hurt introverts because you don't know how to shut up. We speak hard. Okay, we need to learn to love each other. Know your personality. Okay, some of us we attack one another. We don't realize it. Okay. And then people get hurt, and they mosey on down the road, and I'm not sticking up for that at all because I think that's a weakness, okay? That's a big weakness because if somebody's going to get hurt in their feelings, they're going to go down the road. If that doesn't happen with you, it's going to happen with somebody else, okay? So number one, we need to learn to love the people of this church. Amen? Amen. Okay. Now, number two, we need to learn to love the people of Huntington. We need to learn to love the people of this community. Even with all their hang-ups, all their addictions, all the things that they do, what they say, what they wear. I've seen shirts come in here that I would not want in the church, but you know what? I accept the people. I accept them. I expect sinners to act like sinners, okay? I expect people to be who they are when they don't know the Lord. They're just living the way the world is. We as believers, we need to adjust some of that, but This is the people that in this community. This is where God's called us to serve. You know, you that was with us in the beginning. We thought we had eight or nine acres out there on Highway 9. We were purchased those, and it was all paid off, and we were going to go build out there. But God kept us here. So God knows who we are better than we do. Okay, and He didn't want another church out there. He didn't want us out there, but He wanted us here. He has chosen us to be in a part of this kind of inner city area, this rural inner city area. And I want to remind you that this is the second largest city in northeastern Indiana. This is not number three, not number four, it's number two. We're the only one that beats us in population is Fort Wayne. Okay? So not Bluffton, not Decatur, not anybody. Huntington is the largest. So God has put us here, in this place here, to work with those in this community. Okay? We need to learn to love the people in Huntington. Alright? Number three. I've got to work with more of my leaders. I've got to work with more of my leaders and train up my leaders to be better leaders. It doesn't mean that I know everything, but iron sharpens iron. We need to do that. There's not one person in this church that knows it all. Not me, not you. Okay? There's not one person in here that's biblically at an IQ that knows everything about God's Word. Not one person. Okay? I don't believe there's a person in the world that does. Because when we do that, then we put ourselves at the level of God, and we can't do that. Okay? Men will always need the Holy Spirit. Men will always need Jesus and always need God. But we do need to learn. So, working with leaders and the members of the church is where I need to be. I need to work with leaders. I will still work with the members of the church, but I need to work with leaders so that they can work with you guys. So we need to develop new and old leaders. Okay? Some of your positions could be changing. Some of the places where you serve could be changing, and that is okay. In this part here, we need to disciple every leader to be growing in Jesus. If you're a leader, you need to be growing in Jesus. If you're a member of this church, you need to be growing. But as a leader, you need to be growing and excelling in an area that is a little bit faster. Okay? I watched in the last couple of years, we've been lackadaisical, just kind of floating, and just kind of just going with the way, okay? Also with strengthening the leaders, you need to learn how to be stronger in your own ministry. If you ain't trying to be better in your own ministry, then I don't know what you're doing. Because if you're going to be the same level at your ministry today than you are next year, then you're not growing. We need to be stretching in our ministry abilities as individuals, and that strengthens us as a church. So we need to do that because we can serve better, right? Right? We can serve better. We should want to serve better. We should want to serve better before the Lord. We should always want to serve better. All right? So leaders, I'm going to expect you to be at my leadership trainings. I have four of those a year. Coming up one, and you'll see in the bulletin at the end of the month. And one of those I'm not doing, but it will be association-wide next summer. But we need to do that, all right? Because we all need to grow. Number four, everybody needs to serve somewhere, if possible. Everybody needs to do something in the church, if possible, okay? Now, I will tell you this. I want you to put this in your mind that if you're doing one ministry, it doesn't mean you can't help in another. But it also means that the ministry that you serve in, it doesn't mean that that is your ministry, like you have the keys and you have the lock and it's all yours and nobody else can help and nobody else, like you're going to be the one that's going to do it forever. Okay? You are removable and the Lord can call you into moving you in different places. Okay? So we need to know that the ministry doesn't come beyond the serving. Okay? So we serve the Lord. Okay? It's just, where does the Lord have us serving? Okay, the ministries can change, but we need to serve. But everybody needs to learn where to serve. I'm looking for some people, and I know right now we're very, very low in our attendance here. You know, I've been watching that, and it doesn't, I mean, there's a part of me that kind of gets me like, what's going on? What's going on? But you that are here have been the faithful ones, so I'm not going in that direction with us right here, because this is the group that comes in. But I'm hoping to put something in the bulletin in the next couple of weeks of some places where we need some help at. And one of those is I'd really need some people to answer some phones here, because Alan's not always here. And there's a lot of people that come in and out. Some days not so much, but other days there's people that come in and out of here. And I've got to have somebody here to help us do that. Number five, God has given us a task that is bigger than us, and it's okay because He is with us, okay? So God has given us a task that is bigger than us. Okay? That means we have to lean on Him. That's one thing you know, that you're on the right place, and somewhere in the right place. Because if you're doing it, and if you can do it all on your own, then it's not a God thing, I don't think. It's got to be God, you know, so we have to know that God has given us a task bigger than ourselves. Do we agree with that today? Amen. The task that God's given to us is bigger than ourselves, right? So we need to learn to lean on Him. All right? So that's a big one piece there. But you need to be about the vision. Okay, you may not always agree how we do it, okay, but you need to pray about that or come up and ask, but about the vision overall, because if you don't believe in the vision, then I'm going to tell you, you're probably in the wrong church. Now, that would not be something that a pastor would really say right now, because you'd think, wow, we're already going lower. But I'm just saying, because this church is vision-driven. It is vision-driven. Listen, I'm telling you, there are enough churches out there, and I'm not busting them out, but I'm just busting those certain ones out. There is enough churches out there that where you can walk in that church, you can go in there, have your Sunday service, and then walk right out, and there's nothing else going on. Nothing. Their bills are paid, they got plenty of funds, the building's always changing carpets, or always changing walls, but those people, there's a lot of good Christians in those people, or in those churches. I'm just saying, they're available. If you want to go to those, somebody wants to go to those are available. But this isn't like this. This is not one of those churches. Number six. I'll say it this way. Satan and dark forces have attacked us in the past, and they have not prevailed, but they will continue to keep attacking us. Spiritual warfare will continue. It's going to happen. Because when light pierces into the darkness, darkness is going to fight back. We are going to have spiritual warfare. And it's not going to stop. You might have moments where it dips down, it will rise back up. We'll fight. The way the Bible tells us to, it'll go down, we'll fight. But they're not going to give up easy. They've had this area for a long time. They've had this area for a long time. And they've had it long enough, in my opinion. They've had it long enough. There are virtually people that I've talked to in this neighborhood that they said, I didn't even know a church was there. Now, how big is this building? It's probably one of the biggest buildings in the whole area, besides the courthouse. They walk right by it, and they don't even see it. Spiritual darkness will allow you not to see the good things of life. Even some of the physical things, even right here. It is amazing. But we will have battles in our church. We will have battles, but we cannot stop, okay? We cannot stop. He's not going to stop. The dark side's not going to stop because it's what it does. That's what it does, okay? And if we weren't doing anything, he wouldn't be attacking. If we weren't doing anything right, he wouldn't be attacking. If lives were not being changed and people were not trying to change their lives for the Lord, we wouldn't be attacked. It's messy. Number 7. We have to grow spiritually. I got to grow spiritually. Always. Like, I always got to keep growing. There are things that happen. If you go back to the first chapter, 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter will tell you that there are things that your trials and tribulations are there for you to test your faith and to bring forth endurance, that your faith will be proved. How you know if something's good and it's worth something unless it's proven. We go through lots of trials and tribulations. A lot of you don't know them because we don't share them with you because we struggle with it and we overcome it and we go on and we forget about it because we don't want to linger on those. But there are some that I need to be a little bit more open and share those with you. So because the Bible does says we are to rejoice with those who rejoice and we're to mourn with those who mourn. So all of our happiness should be shared together, right? Joy should be shared together. But also, our hurts need to be shared together. I'm telling you, this is tough stuff. And we put $50,000 a year in the women's shelter program, probably $35,000 or so into the meal ministry. And I want to tell you, these pews are empty. These pews should be, but it's not my fault. It's not your fault. We share them. We offer them. We share the gospel. We offer them to come here. There's a part that God says, let me work on the growth there. So there is a battle. I mean, all these women that come, and I'm just being straight up and honest, the women that come from the women's shelter, you don't see too many of them come back that often. They'll come back and think about it. But that's their tent. They're in their time. When they leave here, this is their time of testing, and their faith is being tested. There should be about 15 or 20 of them sitting over there today. There should be 15 or 20 or 30 of them sitting over here from the meal ministry for the last 10 years. But that's not my fault. That's not your fault. It's not your fault. It would be if we didn't share the gospel. If we didn't share the gospel, it would be our fault if we didn't invite them. But does that mean that we need to stop inviting them? No. Does that mean we stop sharing the gospel? No. We do what we are supposed to do. And we got to leave some things up to God. Okay? All right? There are some families that have walked away from this place. Okay? I don't chase anybody. I will talk with them, but I'm not going to try to pull someone back, because if you pull them back, they're going to wear you out. You're going to have to keep doing it all the time. Okay? They need to go out there. And I always know this. God is doing more with somebody than what you think. God is always doing more than what we think in all situations. So that doesn't mean I don't love people. I love people. What it is my heart is breaking because this place should be packed for the impact that it's doing in the world. But the world is turning its back on the Lord. We know 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy tells us that the times are close. People will, right will become wrong and wrong will become right, and that's what they think. One thing I know about God's word is it's always right. Okay? It ain't right just on Sundays. It's right all every day. So, we have to grow spiritually. I've did a series on drawing back to God. Never done a series that long. But drawing back to God, growing up spiritually. And so a couple of things I want to just remind you of. We need to read our Bibles more. Dan, this is something I'm going to talk to you about later. I don't think our church knows enough about that. And I've talked to Scott about it. I don't think our church knows enough about the basic stories of the Bible. I think we struggle. If I mentioned the word Balaam, would you think that he was a king, a priest, or a prophet? You know, and Balaam's not a major, major character, but he is under that, maybe a second area major character. There's a major part in the scriptures about a guy named Balaam. But I don't know if many people know that. I'm not telling you. So I think there's a part here where we have to get back to some of the basic stories of the Bible, because the story of David is not just about David and Goliath. There's lots of stories in there about David, and we need to learn that. It doesn't mean you're going to remember every name, but it means that you're getting those basic stories of the Bible, and I think we've kind of missed some of that, and we need to get back to some of those, and we need to learn some of those pivotal places. But a couple of things I want to ask for you, from you guys, is this. Number one, I'm going to ask you to be committed. It's not a word that the world likes to use today. When you get done with a guy or a girl, a lot of people, they don't like commitment. People don't like commitment in churches. We don't like a commitment. Many of us are busy, but I'm just going to ask you this. What are you really busy about? You got to work. You got family. You got kids, and I get that. But you need to remember, you prayed for that job and God gave you that job. You prayed for that woman and God gave you that spiritual wife. You prayed for that. You prayed for your kids and God brought you through those kids' sickness, and everything that you've got, God's given to you. And we say we don't have time for God. I'm just saying, we need to be committed to God. Okay? So we need to, I'm just asking you to think about, I'm going to give you three things here. I want you to think about these things that I'm asking from you. One is to commit, stay committed. Okay? That's Sundays. On Sunday morning service, you're committed. You're going to come and you're going to worship because you're part of the family of God. You're part of this church. You're going to be committed, okay? You're going to show up for things maybe you didn't show up for before, because you're going to show you're committed to the Lord, first of all, and to your church, second, okay? You're committed to growing, okay? You don't grow spiritually by sitting at home. You can read the Bible, and that's good, and you need to have that daily devotion, but we need to be around one another. We need to sweat sometimes. And I appreciate all the guys and a couple of girls that showed up over there at the house. That was really good. I want to tell you, when we were sitting in 91, when we were sitting in 91 across the street, I would have never got that kind of a crowd. But I got it through 20-year-olds and a couple of us older folks. But we got it through 20-year-olds. And I want to tell you, I know when I think back, why is some of our 20-year-olds as strong as they are in giving and their commitment and those things? Because they learned it through Sunday school. They learned it through being church, being a part of cleaning the church, being part of all those things that church camps, even though we don't do church camps now, but we did other things. But they were committed to those things. And when they struggled in their faith, because I know some of them struggled in their faith, they struggled, but they didn't quit. And they fought through those storms of struggling storms, and they came out and they persevered on the other side. And they're part of our church today. They're the strongest givers in our church. They're the strongest workers in our church. And you got to stay committed, because Satan will try to get you sidetracked. So number one, I'm asking you, maybe God's telling you that you need to raise your commitment level, okay? Whether it's in serving, your attendance, your giving, whatever it is. But commitment is important to God, okay? Commitment is important to God. Number two, I'm asking you to pray faithfully. This church needs your prayers. This church needs your prayers. The people of this church need. This church has a lot of people with a lot of struggles. And it's not just people in the ministry programs, but it's also people in this church. We need to pray for each other faithfully, pray for this church faithfully. We need to pray for our ministries faithfully. We have 6 buildings. I don't know where it's at. Maybe we have 6. I think we do. Anyway, there's a lot of problems with all these buildings. We need to pray that we're going to have the funds to take care of them. We have a lot of needs in our church, a lot of needs in our ministry. Because why? Because we are the people the Good Samaritan. We are kind of like the Good Samaritan, where we help people on the road, but we're at the end of the road. We're the innkeeper. That's when people bring people and hurt people and broken people to us, or they just come to us. And other people send funds. The man says, if he needs anything, here's some money, take care of him, and I'll be back, and if he owes you anything, I'll pay for it. That's why we have this here. Because those people can't afford their own help. They can't afford some of those things. And we have other churches that send funds. So I'm just saying, pray for us faithfully. Pray for yourself. Pray for this church. And number three, I need you to support by being encouraging. I need you, I'm asking you to be supportive in this church. Not negatively in your words, but encouraging. Speak positive about what the Lord is doing. Speak positive, even though there are things that we can kind of fall on and get a little bit upset with. And if there's somebody that can get upset about a few things, it's probably me and a few of you. And there's are times when we vent. There's times when we get upset about things. But I want to tell you, you know where the best place to deal with those are? In the front of, in the presence of the Lord. As David gives us examples. Wrestling. When you're upset with something, you take it to the Lord. He has a way of cooling your jets. Okay? Commitment. Prayer. And being an encouragement to the church. These are three things I'm asking you. One of the things that bothers me a lot is I don't see a lot of salvations and a lot of baptisms. And that's because I think this church should be, I mean, this is my opinion, I think we should be doing 10 to 15 baptisms a year. 10 on the low end. But I can't make that happen. I don't want to make that happen. That's not, we don't force those things. Those things are the Lord's business. But we need to keep fishing. We need to keep serving. We need to keep doing. This is not the time to quit. This is the time to step it up. God is showing his hand all over the place in this ministry and in the church. He's showing his hand all over it. Now, I'm going to read this again. And I want to put some, I'm not adding anything to it, but I want you to think about it. I want you to think about Huntington when I'm reading it, if you would. Because is this not where we're located? We have to bloom where we're planted, right? Okay? He says, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. If that was not important, Jesus would not have said it. We try to put a lot of things more important in there, but Jesus said, when you're getting ready to say goodbye, are you going to say something that's not important, or are you going to say something that's important? You're going to say something that is important. And so he says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So that is important to him. Okay? So if I was to look at that, it'd be go, therefore, and make disciples in Huntington. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But he didn't stop, did he? Teaching is important. Teaching them. So we have to be teachers. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, what God has done for you, showed you through the word, we're to teach them. And he says, oh, I am with you always, even unto the end. I don't understand why God has chosen me to be here. And I don't understand why God has chosen you to be here. Except God does what he does. Because when God called me here, I told him this: there's enough churches in Huntington. But he's my spirit. He spoke. I'm going to do something different. And that's all I heard. And that was in 1999. Yeah. And through all that time, God has revealed that it comes to be. Now, usually when we have a service and we have a altar call, it's about us coming, usually about my hurts and my pains and my sorrows. And God loves that. Isn't God a God of mercy? Isn't God a God of forgiveness? Isn't a God of love and kindness? If you want to read the book of Mark, it's all about Jesus' compassion. He's a compassionate God. But from time to time, It isn't what we can get from God we need to pray about. It's, Lord, what can I give to you? And I think this church, even though we kind of went down in numbers, and I'm not blaming anyone for it, I'm not blaming anything for it. It's just who we are right now. And there were five major changes, and you heard those in the beginning. But I do know this. We can all do a little better, including myself. So we are going to have an altar call here today, and I don't want to leave it out. If you don't have Christ, you are really struggling, you can come, and I will stand over here, and I will pray for you for your what's going on in your life, because I don't want to miss that. But if you're doing good in the Lord, if you're kind of struggling, even if you're struggling in